What's up, everyone? This is your host, Daniel and
Avi, and you're listening to the Brown Sound Podcast.
We're just two brown best amigos talking about everything and anything through a Latino and Indigenous perspective.
In this podcast, we uplift Indigenous and Latino insights on a variety of topics that highlight the intersectionality of both cultures.
Expect some tears, joy, and definitely some laughter. Imagine chilling with your two best friends, talking smack, and throwing a little shade.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Daniel, Clearwater River Casino and Lodge. Who knew?
Javi, right? Let's make this visit legendary. What's your game?
Video gaming machines all the way. Have you seen the variety here?
And check this out. Free refreshments while we play?
Now that's my kind of treat. Plus, they've got lodging. How about a staycation?
The Clearwater River Casino and Lodge, your play, stay, getaway location. It's not just a saying, it's an invitation.
Absolutely, and this gaming delight is brought to you by the Clearwater River Casino and Lodge, our Season 6 sponsors.
Hey listeners, Daniel here.
And Javi, we're thrilled to have Nimiipuu Fund as a sponsor for Season 6 of the Brown Sound Podcast.
Absolutely. Nimiipuu Fund is doing incredible work as a native CDFI, providing lending opportunities and development services to empower individuals and businesses.
From coaching and training to their innovative initial platform for business development, Nimiipuu Fund is dedicated to building a stronger, more vibrant future for the Nez Perce tribal members and surrounding communities.
So if you're ready to take your business to the next level or just want to learn more, visit their new website at nimiipuufund.org today. Welcome back, everybody.
They're all, oh, you guys again?
Yeah. We're back.
Hola. Hola a todos. Yeah, Chiquex, no, we are stoked. So we're just the biggest fans of the show Traitor. So we decided to come back and give you our reactions for the season 2 finale.
Finale and reunion. Oh my gosh.
We had thoughts. We had thoughts.
A lot of thoughts. Like, I still feel very bamboozled.
Yes, yes.
Last night when I was watching the finale, I felt legit like anger and betrayal. Like I was a part, like I was MJ, like I was like feeling it for her, Chiquex. I guess we could just
hold on. You know, now's your chance, everybody. If you're a Traitors fan and have not seen the season 2 finale, stop listening right now. Go watch that first and then come back, because we about to get into some things.
I'm just Chiquex. Like I said, I felt so angry I felt really bad for MJ. So
yes, before we jump into that, let's take everybody on the journey with us. So the season finale, episode 11, we left off with, they were going to vote someone out. So there was one traitor left. If you remember, Phaedra was voted out at the round table. My feelings were hurt. I was emotionally devastated by this. I probably cried a little bit just because I was not ready for her to go.
I know.
But so what happened was, we get back to the episode, and then like all the other episodes, it's the morning after. And so everybody that's left slowly trickles in until finally someone doesn't. And that's how they find out that that's who's been murdered. So,
right.
You know, I was expecting, personally, I was expecting out of everybody that was left. So we had Trishelle. We had
Trishelle,
CT. Sandra.
MJ. Sandra.
MJ and Kate. And they were supposed to have a sixth person, but then we found out that the person that was murdered was Sheree. That one hurt me too, because I was actually a big fan of Sheree too. I've seen her in other shows, and I feel like, you know, she's got good vibes. She's got good energy.
She is she by Sheree.
So we find out that next morning Sheree's been kicked out, and then we have everybody trickle in, and half of the group is thinking Sandra is the traitor. That's where the inclination is going. And then because of the last round table, Kate. And then they were thinking that Kate was the other traitor. So the group was already divided, and my money was kind of on Kate at that point, because I was like, this, you know, you've been left to, like, you know, carry out Phaedra's legacy here in the game, which is to have a traitor win. And you know, I love me a good traitor. Like, usually I root for the bad guys and things, because I just feel like they're, you know, quote misunderstood sometimes, you know. It's
not fun being it's not, good.
Right. And so I was thinking, you know, like, crap, they're going to get her. That was I just immediately thought they're going to get her.
Right.
And what ended up happening, Cheek-X, was that, you know, they had to go do one of those. They always have to do some kind of challenge, right, where they're gaining more money to their pot.
Yeah.
And they gave them a really difficult one, which was to go out and grab, cans or, like, find flags or, like.
Yeah, it was, like, something in, like, the seaweed. Like, or it was, like, a really difficult challenge.
Like, because they even had to, like, go into caves, like, swim through entrances of caves to go find stuff and come back.
I'm like, if I were to ever be on a show like this, I'd be like, you know what? I think I'm good.
Well, Cheek-X, I've been campaigning for us to be on this show, so we would do it, producers. We would do it.
We would. But I'll try my best.
So the ladies that were left, some of them were just not, you know, willing, but maybe just their strengths weren't in being able to do the physical stuff. So CT carried most of the weight on that, which, you know, good on CT, whatever.
That's definitely
up his alley. But, you know, it seemed to me they were working really well. And secretly, though, they were making their little alliances. Any moment they got to be with each other, they were scheming, conniving, and like trying to figure out where they were at. So let's talk a little bit about that. How did you feel about like those, like, you know, secret talks between the individual members trying to like campaign to vote out somebody else, not them? How did you feel about that?
I mean, obviously they were in the end game part, so it was like it makes sense they had to do what they had to make sure they made it to the very end. But for me, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this last group of people, they really did seem like they were really loyal to each other. And like, but they had to like betray each other too. And at the end of the day, a lot of these reality stars don't personally know. They probably met coming into the house with the other, you know, the gamers and the Bravo people. So I don't know. I had mixed feelings on it. I felt like it was messed up because for me, I take loyalty so serious, you know? So like if like I'm meeting and building this bond and then they're over there like, oh yeah, we're voting him out. You know, like that would probably be, you know, I'd probably be pretty pissed off if that was me.
So kudos to the veterans who have done these game shows before, because the gamers know how to play it. They understand what's at stake. They understand that you need to make alliances. They understand that you need to connive your way to the end. So that was shady. It was very transparent to me that the gamers, who in this case were Sandra because she did Survivor, twice. And CT, and she won it twice, and it was CT Tamborelli or whatever his last name is, who's been in the challenge, those MTV real, like not real world, those MTV like those like contests, like doing tasks and challenges kind of game.
Yeah.
And then Trishelle, who's also been on that, and she's known CT for like 20 years. Like, it made sense. I get that. And nice. And as it happened, I was like, okay, well, I can't knock them for doing that. I understand. But I thought at least to some kind of level, they would have some kind of loyalty to the people they did not perceive as traitors. Right? Is that what you were thinking? Like, as that was happening, I was like, this is how I'm seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I felt like, well, when you were texting me saying that you watched it, because you watched it a little bit before I did, and you were like, bruh. And I was like, don't tell me. And I just started. But then when I got to the part, I think, where you were at, I was like texting you like, no, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I was like sending you voice messages, and I was sitting on my edge of my chair like, I thought that they were like, I thought they were done, you know, like I thought they're done voting. And then it's like another like plot twist. Yeah. And I was like, oh my.
Okay. So let's talk about that. So they do the challenge, our last five remaining people. Okay. They do the challenge. Then they go back to the castle. That's where they stay, and they got to prepare for the last round table. And so if this is your first time listening to that, or listening to us talk about traitors, the round table is the last opportunity that they get as an individual group to throw out who they think is a traitor, argue their case, and then the traitor gets a chance, the perceived traitor gets the opportunity to defend themselves. And a lot of the iconic moments that happened in the season were at the round table, like when Phaedra read Pilot Pete to filth.
Peter,
you know, Pals. and Trishelle got red and you know, for filth too during that.
and Dan and Parvati. Yes, yes,
all of them. And so anyways, here we are thinking, okay, we know who it's probably going to be because Trishelle and Sandra were gunning for, what's her face? Kate. I keep forgetting her name. Trishelle and Sandra were gunning for Kate. Kate was kind of onto them. So she and MJ, who MJ believed wholeheartedly, bless MJ's heart, because she's, I love me MJ. Like, MJ, if you're listening, come on the podcast. We will talk. We will talk this out. We are on your side. We wanted you.
Team
you
MJ.
Deserve better. You really did. Yes. So they were there at that round table. You know, Kate was working with MJ to try to get maybe CT to work with them to vote out Sandra. And then CT spoke to Trishelle, and Trishelle kind of like convinced them to no, let's vote out Kate instead. And it seemed that that was going to be it. So like coming into the round table, you thought they're going to go for Kate and take her out. Mm-hmm. But what... And I kind of like Kate for this. She, in a last ditch effort, she stirred the She stirred the pot. So she went over to was it Sandra, CT or Sandra? Oh, she went to both of them.
Yeah, both of them.
And she had a conversation with Aunt Sandra and said, you know, I was driving back from the challenge with CT, and he brought up your name. And you know, so I think we're voting for you. And then she was like, oh my gosh, no, like CT's the traitor. Like, she was quick to turn on CT when she thought this whole thing, right?
She panicked.
So she was like, if me as Sandra, if we get MJ and you vote out CT, then we'll have the majority and then we can get Trishelle out. So it felt like it was like, you know, anyone's game at that point, because Kate really did stir the pot in a good way. I was impressed.
Yeah. I was too, low-key, because I don't watch Below Deck, so I don't know her personality on reality TV. So seeing her do that, I was like, oh, okay, I'm impressed a little bit, you know, because that's like housewife behavior, you know, that's like something you see like on The Real Housewives, but she was like, no, let me throw this little wrench in.
Yeah.
And it was weird seeing Sandra panic.
Yeah.
Like, cause she's such a strong, like, player, and she was like very like smart and she like called it like, you know, a couple episodes in. So I was like surprised to see her like so shook, like,
what?
CT? Like, yeah. She was like, yo, he's the traitor. Yeah.
It was very clever and it worked. So at the round table,
Everybody,
you know, said their case. Some people came for Kate. Mm-hmm. They even were like, yeah, your outfit even screams traitor. She was like, well, thank you. That was good.
I would love to be on this round table like that, where you could just go after people, like, hold up now, shut up, glasses, you know, or whatever. Like, I would just be going in. Yeah. But...
Well, you can't do it right away, too, because you want to seem friendly and you don't want to piss people off. Right. And then you're, you know, so I was especially surprised, right, that, like, everybody changed their votes. Everybody voted for Sandra. And you thought the whole time they were coming for Kate. And so Sandra got banished. And then...
And I felt so bad.
I know. I did too. It did feel... And Trishelle, she's kind of a lying, conniving, scheming... She knew how to play...
Trishelle. Trishelle. That's what I was calling her. Trishelle. Because she was trash all season. Not a fan.
So I can, okay, I did not appreciate her. I was not a fan of her at all during the season. I didn't think anything of her, but I do got to give her this. She played that game really well. She knew who to talk to. She knew what to say, and she knew who to throw under the bus. The other thing, Cheek X, that I was going to say is, so after they finished the round table, they found out that, you know, Sandra was actually a faithful, and they were all devastated. Yeah, they were all like, dang, we got her out. So, you know, it's obvious who they were going to vote for next, I think. So they were going to come for Kate at that point, because she was the most obvious option. So what they did is, for the final ceremony, everybody took a break. They went back to the castle. They got ready. Mm-hmm. And then they came out and they had this the way you voted somebody out, I guess, or decided to stop the game, and then everybody splits the pot, is through this little like fire thing. So they all stood around a little fire pit. They were each given... Mm-hmm. red dust and green dust. And if they did the green dust, then they would be able to stop the game and they all split the pot. And if one of them is a traitor, though, then the traitor gets all the money. So that's why they're all really invested in getting the traitor out, which to me, okay, yeah, like I understood why Kate was going to go out next. They already thought it was her. Right. There was, you know, no surprise there. So they do it and they vote her out. And then all of us are thinking, yes, like MJ made it, CT made it.
All three,
the faithfuls won it. And, you know, and I could get behind that at that point because I really like MJ.
Me too.
And I'm like, they already took out Phaedra. I'm behind this. Like, MJ's going to get her coins. I'm excited for this. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? You tell them.
Oh, Cheek X. Like you said, you know, I was excited. I was like, yes, MJ, at least someone from Bravo won, right? And then, like, next thing you know, they vote again, either to end the game or do another elimination round or whatever. So then they do the voting and it comes down green and then it was
so
red.
Who was green though? Who was green? Because that means that'll tell everyone. So that'll tell everyone who honestly thought that they were gonna complete the game together. Who was it?
Yeah, so MJ voted obviously green because she knew that her, CT, and Trashel were faithfuls. And so when she throws her little bag in and it turns green, she's like, oh, yay. And then when they see CT's going and it's red, you can see MJ's, like, disappointment and her hurt on her face. She's like, you know, she was like, like, oh, looking around. And then then Trashel throws hers in and it's red. And she's just – and poor MJ is just, like, taking the bag. You could already tell, like, when she saw that, she knew she was going to be on the way out because of CT and – Trashel's 20-year weird friendship or whatever they have. I felt so, like, angry for MJ because I'm like, here they are, the three faithfuls of the last ones won this, like, over $200,000.
Yep.
And then they vote her out.
They did her so dirty, Cheek X. I was livid. I was pissed. I was like, fuck Trashel, fuck CT. I was like stress eating because I was like, oh my gosh. And so I have a theory, and let me know if, like, you agree. Mm-hmm. I think CT and Trashel, I'm going to call her that too, because I'm like, Trashel. I was so upset by her. She led MJ on. She really tricked her. And it was not. So anyways, and the other thing I got to say about this, I know it's not like a race thing at all, but I was really rooting for our, like, Persian queen to, like, win. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yes, you made it. I stan MJ. So what they did, everybody, was not only did they vote her out, they made a whole, like, little moment out of it. So the first round of voting, because as soon as someone sparks in red dust, it means you're going back to eliminate somebody. So what they did was MJ, who was loyal to CT, voted for Trashel, and then CT voted for MJ. So MJ got voted on by someone she trusted. That pissed me off.
Yeah, me too.
And then Trashel goes in and votes CT out. So it was like a stalemate, and that did throw me for a loop because I was like, I did not see it coming at all.
I was like, wait, what?
But then they had to go back and redo the votes, and they did MJ so dirty, Cheek X.
I'm like, how do you put her through this twice, you know?
So my theory is they had the plan to do that as a way to get, like, public opinion away from them from voting MJ out because they wanted the pot for themselves
and more money.
And so they're like, what if we, like, confuse everybody and just, we know MJ's going to vote for Trashel because that's the way MJ was leaning towards to the beginning. So CT used his knowledge of her relationship with him to do her dirty. I think that's another level of why I'm so upset by this. Cheek X, they did her dirty and they planned this, and then they voted her off at the second voting, and then they both took the pot. And I was just like, my jaw dropped.
I wasn't even happy for them. I was not happy for them. I was like, I'm like, it probably wasn't a race thing, but it sure felt like a race thing.
I'm like, there we go. Brown people getting fucked over again.
I'm like, first Trashel comes after Peppermint, you know? So then I'm like, that's a red flag. You're coming after Peppermint the first day. And then it was like,
she would make
the, she kind of targeted the people of color in that castle. castle, which I was like,
it's a
little. And then, but I mean, I'm not saying it's a rape, but I just being a person of color and seeing that, I was like,
it felt sketch as AF. And here's the other thing, everybody, to give you more context. So the whole time, the group always had like their mindset on, you know, I feel like this person might be a traitor. I feel like this person might be a traitor. They would speak it out. They would hash it out. Never once in the whole freaking game did anyone ever think that MJ was a traitor. Ever.
No.
So at the end,
she
right?
She just got by. Like,
she made friends with everybody. I think her intentions came out pure and genuine. People thought like she's a faithful. And so at the end, when they asked them, well, why did you guys vote her out? Why did you think she was the traitor? And TT just kept saying, well, the only person I could trust was Trishelle. And I'm like, she didn't even trust you, right. First of all. Because according to the little theatric little moment you guys made there. It was just, they never give you an indication that MJ was a perceived traitor, and that's why they would vote her off the way that they did. So this felt very calculated. It felt very personal. It felt very malicious. It felt very shade. It felt very like greedy is the word, because they wanted the pot for themselves, and I guess I can't hate them for that. I would do it too in the same circumstances, but they did her so dirty because they made her believe that she was their friend,
and she even said, like, you know, this is like her loyalty, like she even said she loved them and she knew they're both faithfuls. I definitely felt disappointed. I was like, what, all the plot twists? And then, like, you know, they had to have a conversation off camera somewhere. They had to, because I'm like, how is it? Well, they did say it's going to be them two till the very end, or he's going to try to, you know, get them to the very end. So I guess that's MJ was collateral damage. But I feel so bad, man. I was like, not MJ, not MJ June.
So, and here's the other thing, everybody. So I think public perception is probably where me and you are sitting. We're in this camp of she got effed over. And aren't like, isn't social media coming for them too? Like, I think I read somewhere that Trishelle's comments had to be turned off because people were coming in for her because of what she did.
Yeah, her Instagram comments were shut off because people were commenting on there like, you guys robbed MJ, you guys blah, blah, blah. Like, there, people were like going in. And then like, you see MJ's comments and they're like, you were robbed. Like, we love you, MJ. Like, people were like supporting MJ. And then everyone was going after Trishelle and CT. Well, I don't know if CT has a social media. I didn't see his, but I did see Trishelle's comments, and I was like, oh my gosh.
And I never condone any kind of violence, any kind of harassment, but I'm like, fans are letting her know how they feel about, like, the way she, you know, did MJ dirty, because I'm sitting on that camp and I'm not moving.
It was messed up. Just fucked up.
You know, ideally, Phaedra would have won this all, and we all would have been rooting for her, right? But it didn't happen the way we wanted. And, you know, MJ was left at the end and we all got behind her. Like, you could just feel the love. So,
It was definitely, you know, I was definitely disappointed. And then the reunion, you know, I was like, everyone's all like all happy go. And MJ was pretty still upset, you know, and she like blocked them off of Instagram. And I'm like, rightfully so,
for sure. G-Kex. So one of the things, so now that we're jumping into the reunion, you know, one of the things that I really liked about MJ is she was being so authentic about her feelings and disgust towards those two people, because, you know, this whole time they, you know, faithfuls to the end, go faithfuls.
Yeah.
And so when she came in and like was making comments about like, you guys, you know, like, did me wrong, you guys this, you guys that. And then John, who had been eliminated, comes in and keeps commenting. Yeah. Like, what did he say to her? That
he was like, he's like, why are you so bitter? It's a game. It's a game. It's a game. I'm like, shut up, John. You got eliminated. You and your long-winded speeches. Sit down. Yeah, I was so annoyed with him. He's like, she's confused on why you're so bitter or whatever. And I'm like, dude, shut up. Like,
first of all, I'm sorry. Did you make it to the top three?
Yeah. I'm like, they should have eliminated your old ass a long time ago. They probably let him go so long because he was an older guy. They probably felt bad.
Well,
I was like, why did
they? Phaedra read him for filth too at the round table. Yeah, he caught some Phaedra.
He got paid to shade, but I was laughing when Andy Cohen asked Pilot Pete, like, how did it feel to be, like, read for filth by Phaedra? And he was like, it was an honor. Like the Phaedra Parks, you know?
And I will tell you this, though. Phaedra, like, made him coins because she coined the term Peter Pals. And then he was like, now I'm selling shirts and people are buying them.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how she went in on Dan, though. She was like, piece of shit. You know, like, she didn't let Dan loot. Like, she did not let up on him. She was still upset. And he was like, I'm sorry. And she's like, nope.
I'm good.
Like,
I'm good.
Shit. Like, I was like, damn.
So, and for more context, so Dan and her were the two original traders. And then they voted Parvati in. But the issue with Dan was when he was a trader, in his confessionals, he was saying, oh, I'm so ready to throw Phaedra, to the wolves. Like, throw her under the bus. The first chance I get. And then when he was pushed against the corner and everybody was clearly going to vote him out just because he played the game so wrong, he did so many mistakes. Like, it was obvious he was a traitor. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously. But he was plotting against Phaedra, and then as a last-ditch effort to save himself at the round table, he threw Phaedra's name out at the ring, hoping to have them go after her. Ultimately, he got voted off, so that failed. But some people did say at the reunion, if it wasn't for him calling you out at that last round table, you would have stayed off our radar. So ultimately, he caused Phaedra to go out.
He knew what he was doing. He knew. He even said, like, he's like, I take big shots and they always work, and this one did and it backfired. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, and Phaedra tore you up for it.
Yep. Ah, cheekex.
It was... I'm like, what am I gonna do on Thursdays now? I don't know. Maybe get a full 8 hours of sleep. Anyone that's listening who hasn't watched Traitors, definitely go and watch it. It's on Peacock. It's like such a good. It's very entertaining, especially because it's so many different reality TV stars under one roof, and all. You know how that always goes. So it's definitely entertaining, and I would recommend. And I'm looking forward to season 3. I feel like they're gonna go bigger. Like season 2. 2 was a good one. They had to probably try to top it, and I bet they're probably bringing in like the big dog.
Oh yeah, like now that it's gotten so popular, I bet you they can pull in like bigger names. Not that the people they had already were not big names, but I feel like they can get better.
I'm like, it's gonna be a good season. I have a question for you, Cheek. If you could assign 2 traitors to your save, you're a part of this game, and you could recruit 2 traitors, who would they
be? So I feel like right off the bat, it would
like out of your friends,
okay, I would definitely vote you in, and I would vote Hillary in, because I feel Hillary knows how to play the game. She is great with,
she's smart,
she's good with building relationships. Not only that, she is one of the smartest people I know. So like trivia, puzzles, like logic, like critical thinking, all those things she's amazing at, and she would be an asset in that way. So we'd be getting the money together. One of the things I would like going into the game, I feel like one of the things that I would do as a strategy is not let people know that we're that close, because ultimately that's what let Larsa and the Jordan son, whatever his name was,
her boyfriend,
like that ultimately is what caused people to vote him right away, because he has the built-in loyalty, right? And so like the gamers, if you notice, they've known each other for 20 years, but they never let their relationship be like a highlight of anything, because they didn't want people to like assume, oh, we got each other's backs, we're gonna. And that also happened to the housewives. So there was about 5 of them in the show. They quickly grouped and people called them the housewives, and they, you know, they were plotting against, let's break them up because they're a powerhouse, they can vote people out, and one of them is for sure has to be a traitor. So I think I would come into the game and we would definitely acknowledge that we know each other, but not that we were close.
You gotta play it smart.
You know what I mean?
We used to work with
Each other back. Oh, yeah. We went to school together back in the... You know what I mean? Like something like that.
We used to do a podcast a long time ago.
All still happening. And with Hillary, I feel like because our personality types are so different, but also like we are charismatic people, like people are drawn to us, like not being cocky or anything, but just our energies are,
it's true,
our energies that people resonate with. And so I feel like the three of us would have a really strong chance of just helping the game play out the way it's supposed to. And then people think manipulate is a bad word, but in this game, that's what you need to do. You need to make people trust you you, love you, feel some kind of psychological attachment to you, so that when we go to the roundtables, yeah, they have our backs and we can win. Now, would I feel bad doing it? Absolutely, because it's not in my core being to to do that, lie to my friends. Like, that would be hard. Because as I'm thinking about it, like, you know, Dan was trying to play the aloof, I'm just getting information.
Yeah.
But that was a red flag for a lot of people, because they're like, you're not talking, you're not. They asked him, who do you think is a traitor? Just give us an opinion. And he couldn't even do that. So when you're put on the spot, you know, you do need to give up some options. But, you know, if you have to nominate someone, I would go for someone who's like not well liked, you know, so that they don't have friends to back him up, and then I'm a target. So I would kind of go, I think if I'm being honest, I would play a game kind of like Trishelle. You know, she was kind of under the radar. She made some bold accusations at the beginning, got it wrong, and then she was like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, like, she had done all the things that if she did that again, people would be like, well, I understand why she's not saying who she thinks is the traitor now, because she don't want to get people out. It was weird. Mm-hmm. And then Peter was also, like, very charismatic, Pilot Pete. If you remember, he had his little core group also that he built, and they were super loyal to him. But because he kept trying to have these secret conversations and ask people to get out of the room or whatever, then quickly people got on him and they were like, no, he must be a traitor, or, you know, the traitors identified and then broke up that group, right? And none of those people remained except for Trishelle. So it was, I don't know, like, that was interesting. You do need to find a group. I think that would be one of the strategies. Find a core group we trust. Not let people know that we know each other so closely or are, like, really good friends. And then, you know, go from there. I want to ask you the same question, Chica, because I'm really interested to know. But I also then want to know how you would feel if, like, we went in as best friends and you were a traitor and I wasn't, and how it would be for you to, like, you know, could you lie to me, essentially, right? Because I would have a lot of trust in it. So, yeah, who would you choose as part of your traitor crew?
If I were to choose my traitor crew, I obviously would choose you, because I think, you know, you're very good at strategy and you're smart. You went to school and studied psychology, so you know those, you know, people's type of, you know, thought process, I guess. And for the third person, I mean, I would choose Hillary too, but I think to just, I guess, trying to change it up, I would choose probably, you know, I think I would probably choose maybe Sienna.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Sienna would be good at, like, I feel like she would be the very, like, I feel like she would be the good one to, like, argue with people, you know, or, like, defend her case, which would take the heat off of me. You know, so I feel like she would be like the one where people would be like, oh, I think she's a traitor. I'm like, no. And then I was like, I think she would take the heat off of, you know, keep the heat on her, because just knowing how Sienna is, you know, she's a spitfire.
She also has this natural ability, and it's just part of her regular, like, personality, to kind of, like, push people's buttons. So I feel like, but not in, like, a suspicious way. So I feel like if she came into the game, people would just assume, well, that's just part of her personality. She likes to call it how it is, you know, and maybe that would also not get people to think she was a traitor. She's just a crabby person who calls us out.
But I would choose that. But I think if I was a traitor and you weren't, I would probably do what Phaedra did and just keep you around as long as I could. That would be tough. I mean, because you can see how it was so hard for Phaedra to lie to Sheree, and they've been friends for like 30 plus years. So it would be definitely a challenge. I would probably just, I think if I had a chance, like, say if I were to, if you were a faithful and I was a traitor and there was a chance where I could recruit you in, like, midway, I'd be like, oh yeah, recruit him in so we can win this money. But if it came down to the very end, she gets, I'm like, I need money too. So I would keep you up to the very furthest as much as I could. Yeah. But that would be tough though. I feel like that would be really hard for friends to go into this game if one of them is a traitor, one of them is a faithful.
Well, and then the, like, for example, Sheree and Phaedra, when Phaedra was one of the people everybody was kind of gunning for at that time, you know, they sat down together alone, and then Sheree straight up was like, Phaedra, are you a traitor? Yeah. You know, like, I don't know how I could react if I was a traitor.
Yeah,
and they would ask me, I'd be like, shh, don't tell anybody. Like, let me win it, and we'll split the pot. Like, we'll...
you know? I'd be like, are we mic'd right now? Let's take this mic off real fast. And I'll be like, just let me get to the end and I'll give you half, you know?
But like, it's some kind of secret, like something like that. But absolutely.
It'd have to be like an off mic moment, off camera moment. I'd be like, Javi, I am, but I promise. Yeah, just
get,
you.
I'll get them off my back. Get them off my back. So I mean, yeah. Okay, let me.
I'm like, I'll give you some money here. I'm like, remember that one time I Venmo'd you $11?
Oh, Chica, we were in a different tax bracket at that time.
Yeah. We're good now.
Now we Venmo each other hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
All for what?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I know. Why do you Venmo him money?
No,
yeah, no, that would be tough though to be on a show with like someone you have a real like friendship with, yeah, outside of, you know, TV or stuff. But I feel like if that were to be me, I probably would have like, I have one of those off camera moments, off mic, yeah, like just, I'm gonna tell you something, I'm gonna get, like, if you can help me get there, I'll help you get, yeah, something there, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
I prefer my back to be tickled. Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, I like my back massage.
No, Cheekex, I am obviously a big fan of Traitors. I definitely watched, mm-hmm, every episode with like anticipation. I was so, yeah, invested, same, in some of the participants. You know, I really, yeah, was wanting Vader to win in the beginning. And you know, Dan, I didn't really care for, but I'm like, if he's going to help Vader get to the top, I kind of want to root for him too. It was just very obvious. He did not play the game well. After watching the first and second season, I feel like I'm ready to come in for season three. So Traitor producers, if you're looking for a podcast, Mexican-American, can speak on the brown experience. If you need a diversity hire for the show, yoo-hoo!
Well, I know we just talked about diversity hires, but hey, we'll do that.
This is the
in the last episode was sleepy, so go listen to that one, but we did.
Yeah, to get on the show, I would be totally okay with being on your equal employment opportunity button for Traitors. good times, Chick-X. You know, everybody, thank you for sticking with us. We had really, yeah, strong feelings about this episode of Traitors, and we just thought we need it.
I'm like, we gotta talk about this. This felt like a very good like therapy session.
It did.
I was like the whole last night for the like last probably 30 minutes of that show, I'm like, what the oh my god. Oh, you know, like all the voice notes I was sending you, like, what the I was stressing.
It was definitely a roller coaster ride of emotions for sure. That episode, yeah. I just can't even. But no, everybody, you know, again, Traitor producers, if you need a, you know,
if you're out,
if you
there,
need a Latino and indigenous participant for the show, hire us. And again, we got to speak it into existence, Chica. So you gotta put it out there what you want. Yeah. And
the universe,
actually. And to wrap up this bonus episode, I did want to share with everybody a couple announcements. So
yes,
Brown Sound, the Idaho Young Latino Professional Network, our good friends Isaú Vasquez and Valdemar Gonzalez are teaming up together to highlight a series of financial literacy, and you know, just like a series on financial literacy essentially, on April 20th. Please save the date, April 20th. We would love to have all of you come and hang out with us for a panel moderated discussion by yours truly, Javi and Daniel from the Brown Sound podcast, to touch on financial literacy and building generational wealth. You know, disproportionately our communities that are brown, Latino and indigenous, you know, don't have the same financial opportunities as some of the folks outside of our communities. And this is a good time for you to come and learn from experts in their fields,
yeah,
that are also of our communities, to learn a little bit about what it takes to be financially literate, to understand the impact of and opportunities your credit score can create, how to build a good credit history, and also ideas in investing and growing and building generational wealth for your kids, for your family, you know, for the people you love. And so April 20th, we are going to be there. It's going to be in person, and there will be a social event after that where we can all meet,
yeah,
get together and have a good time. So April 20th, Financial Literacy and Building Generational Wealth, moderated by the Brown Sound Podcast, in conjunction with the Idaho Young Latino Professional Network and the experts, Isau Vasquez and Valdemar Gonzalez. So please put that on your calendars and please join us. It's going to be a good time. And the last thing, Chicax, that we have is we're putting our name out there. We're throwing our podcast in the ring.
We're taking that leap of faith, I guess.
And here we are. So, and the next thing we want to talk about is every year, Best of Boise does a nomination contest for many different categories. And one of those categories that falls under entertainment and art category is for podcasts. And we feel like we should have our name in the ring. The work that we're doing to uplift, amplify Latino and indigenous communities here in the state of Idaho and beyond is resonating with many of you. And we know this from the love and support we keep getting, from all of you. And so if you find it in your hearts to support these efforts, this nomination period for the Best of Boise podcast, which the Brown Sound podcast would fall under, is open. So from March 4th, so 4 days ago, until March 23rd, nominations are open. We will be putting up reels. We will be putting up information. And all you need to do is go visit the website, go to the entertainment and art category, find podcasts, and type in Brown Sound and enter.
Yeah.
The more nominations we receive, the better chances we have of getting to the top five finalists for that category. And then it will go to a vote by the community. Mm-hmm. So this is an action call to all of you to help us.
To all of our Brown Sounders.
Last year, the podcast that won, rightfully so, because it's community supported, was amazing. And we saw that and we thought, you know what? The work that we're doing is also worthwhile. It's also meaningful and is making a big impact in our communities. And here in the state of Idaho, you know, we should throw our names in the ring and we should go for it. So we're going for it. Yeah. And we need your help. So help us by going in and nominate. Tell all your friends. You know, we'll go from there. And hopefully we win. And maybe we won't, but it'll be a fun experience nonetheless, because people will get to know more about the Brown Sound podcast.
Yeah. So make sure to get out there and support. Oh, help us help you. I'm excited. And obviously it's kind of cool. It'd be kind of cool to be like an award winning podcast, you know, so got to put that out there. But definitely we'll share information on our Instagram. And if you haven't yet, follow us on Instagram at the Brown Sound Podcast. Check out our website, brownsoundpodcast.com. Follow Javi's TikTok and OnlyFans. Just kidding.
At Brown Sound Podcast.
But other than that, Cheek X, this was a fun little bonus episode just to kind of get that off my chest. I feel a lot better now. I'm like, sending big hugs and good energy to MJ. I'm like, you know, we're rallying for you here.
We are. And, you know, Cheek X, I'm just so thankful that I got to come and hash this out and that I don't have to go pay my therapist, to listen to me rant about this.
I'm like, this feels all like systemic racism.
Let's unpack this. Anyways, well, thank you everybody for tuning in, for listening, for supporting. Give a huge shout out to our sponsors again for all the work that they do. We couldn't do this without you. And reminder to, you know, if you want to be on the podcast, complete our guest application located on our website at brownsoundpodcast.com. You know what? I think that's good, Cheek X. I think the next time we see everybody and record, you and I will be in a sunny palm tree, sand beach type area. And
warm vibes. Tropical vibes.
We're excited to share that with you when that day comes, but not now. We're going to keep you guessing.
So I'm excited for the next episode to be recording from one of my favorites.
I love me a good destination recording, you know, like when we get there. We did it in Phoenix. We've done it in a couple other places.
So I'm excited, Cheek X. I'm looking forward to the link up as always. And as always, to our Brown Sounders, you know, huge shout out to you all for holding us down and being the best listeners out there.
We will see you all next time. Adios.
Kota Heknu.
And now a word from our sponsors. Hey there, beauty enthusiasts. Looking to level up your lash game?
Look no further than Shay's Beauty Lab, owned by the incredibly talented Shaylee Bisbee, an indigenous lash artist extraordinaire.
Shaylee's passion for enhancing natural beauty shines through in every lash extension she creates.
Whether you're into classic or crave that mega volume drama, Shay's got you covered with the latest techniques and top-notch products.
Elevate your beauty routine with Shay's Beauty Lab, located in Lewiston, Idaho. Book your appointment today by visiting Shay's Beauty Lab on Instagram and follow the booking link in the bio.
Shay's Beauty Lab, where every lash tells a story.
This awesome time is brought to you by Shay's Beauty Lab, our season 6 sponsor. Hola amigos, ¿están cansados de pasar sus fines de semana luchando con zacate rebelde y arbustos descontrolados?
Pues no se preocupen más, les presentamos a Gomez Sprinklers Landscape and Maintenance LLC, su solución integral para todas sus necesidades.
Desde el mantenimiento del zacate hasta el diseño de jardines, la instalación de sistemas de riego y todo lo que viene con jardinería. Tenemos todo cubierto en inglés y en español.
Y con nuestro equipo experto y servicios completos, pueden relajarse y disfrutar de su oasis sin levantar un dedo.
Además, servimos las áreas de Caldwell, Nampa, Boise y el Valle de Tesoro. Así que donde sea que estén, estamos aquí para servirles.
Entonces, ¿por qué esperar? Llámanos al 208-671-7740 para programar su servicio y recibir un presupuesto hoy mismo.
Gomez Sprinklers Landscape and Maintenance LLC, donde sus sueños se hacen realidad.
Este momento fantástico es presentado por Gomez Sprinklers Landscape and Maintenance LLC, nuestros patrocinadores de la temporada 6.
And muchas gracias
for listening to the Brown Sound Podcast.
We've had a blast with you all today, and make sure to tune in next time.
To follow us more closely, check us out on Instagram at the Brown Sound Podcast. For partnership opportunities or just wanting to get a hold of us, shoot us a DM on Instagram.
Disclaimer, the thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and hosts only.